This is a Southeast Leather Fest extravaganza from the Kinky Cast.
All right, hi, this is Kate Kinsey, and I am here at Southeast Leather Fest, and we have in our portable studio here, along with our host Woody and the Beast, the fabulous, wonderful author of the Marketplace series, Laura Antoniou.
Real close.
Close. I knew I was going to screw it up.
That's okay. My wife of 17 years does not pronounce my last name right, but it is actually Antoniou.
Antoniou.
Nope, you don't slur it. It's actually four syllables, Antoniou.
Antoniou.
Close.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, but you could call me. This is why
I. Recording of it.
This is why I tell people to call me Laura.
Okay, thank you. I am very grateful for that. You are most well known for the Marketplace series.
Right. For better or worse.
But you have been writing a whole lot since, I think, like 93?
The Marketplace came into print in 92, but it was not my earliest book. The Catalyst predated the Marketplace, and also my gay male, completely non-consensual SM novel, Muscle Bound.
I remembered reading that you had done some writing under, that was under a different name?
Yeah, under the name Christopher Morgan.
Great. And you are here at SELF this time. You've done a couple of classes. I just got out of one that was just wonderful. The name of it was That Ain't Necessarily So. The
Lies, Exaggerations, and Silly Shit You Keep Hearing in the Scene.
And it was very enlightening and entertaining and thought-provoking. And I think that's what most people really, I mean, we love your stories, but we also love the fact that you're a voice of reason that makes people stop and reconsider the things that we keep hearing. So,
well, I don't know. I certainly like to think that I'm reasonable or realistic, but of course we all are in our own bubbles of realism. The thing that makes me speak up, though, is when things happen in the scene that make people feel bad about themselves,
right,
or what they do. And I'm not really invested in debating things that we have no set definitions for, and I don't get involved in that sort of thing, but it does raise my ire when I hear people lying and making other people believe their lies.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, I read something where someone named Kate Bornstein said you were the Mark Twain of BDSM.
Kate Bornstein is a true hero. She is a trans activist, out for over 30 years, who has changed the lives of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really, really proud that she's considered me a friend for over 20 years now. And we've carried on a very delicious flirtation over which we have never actually acted. And I dedicated a book to her once because she's a hero.
Well, that's great. Obviously, she's a fan of yours. So it's a mutual admiration society.
I am honored in her esteem.
I know that you started out in the 80s now, groundbreaking leather women anthologies. Is that part of the Some Women that I just asked you to sign for me? Or
no, Leather Women 1, 2, and 3 were anthologies that I did in the late 80s, early 90s for lesbian SM fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, when I first put out the call for submissions to Leather Women, the call for the sequel collection for Pat Califia's groundbreaking Kinky Women anthology went out, and every dyke I knew who wrote stories had sent all of their stories to Pat, like all of them. All of them. It was a much smaller world then. And so I wound up writing a few extra stories under different names in Leather Women, but it sold really well, and so the publisher engaged me for two more anthologies. And out of that, I also did Some Women, which is nonfiction, which is women writing about doing SM. And I also did By Her Subdued, which was a collection of short stories about dominant women, and No Other Tribute, which was a collection of stories about submissive women. And both of their titles were taken from classical literature. Right. By Her Subdued is from Fairy Queen, and No Other Tribute is from Shakespeare.
Yes. Excellent. And your most recent foray, besides the Marketplace, you recently, the sixth book in the Marketplace series, or have I got the numbers wrong? The Reunion?
The Reunion is five.
Okay.
All right. It actually came out in 2001,
mm-hmm.
but was reissued last year as first an ebook and most recently a paperback.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with The Reunion is when it was first issued by Mystic Rose, it was 600 pages long.
Uh-huh.
In order to make it small enough to make it cost-effective to ship, the typeface was 8-point.
Oh, wow.
That's smaller than the New York Times.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people had difficulty reading it. And it was the last book that Mystic Rose printed, and so it had the shortest print run.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became very rare. Now I'm with Circlet.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of years, they gradually re-released each of the books. And with The Reunion, they had the big problem that in order to make the printing legible, the book is over 1,000 pages long.
It's quite hefty.
Yeah. You cannot hold this book in one hand. It can't. But that's good, because it's not one-handed reading. but I pity anyone who has osteo, you know, issues with their fingers who have to hold the book. I advise them to get the ebook edition, which,
right.
of course, weighs nothing.
Yes. Oh, the Marketplace fans were thrilled with it. I mean, everybody wants more Chris Parker, more Chris Parker.
And they will be getting more Chris Parker in the sixth book of the series, The Inheritor.
And I've been following you on Facebook and read about your trials and the massive work ethic that you have writing. I wish I were as dedicated to writing as much as you are. You really seem to do it every day.
Well, that's not true.
Not true. Okay,
nope, not
good.
True. Since I finished The Inheritor, I have edited an anthology, but I haven't really written much.
Okay.
I'm working on the outline mm-hmm. for my next book, but I haven't actually added pages mm-hmm. to it yet. But that spell's got to end soon, because I need to get that book written before Christmas, because it's already going to be 5 months late, and I don't want to disappoint the publisher too much. And I also want them to think of me as someone who delivers a quality book. So,
is there any way you could get in touch with George R.R. Martin and just whack him on the head and make him feel the same way?
You know, I'm sure George is putting as much work as he possibly can into this. I cannot imagine what his codex looks like for the world of Westeros. He must have an entire room with wall-spanning charts of who's related to who. I saw a cute video on the internet the other day, what it's like reading the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's like, here is Sir Janister Mannister, who was killed by Sir Hoyle of Poyle while eating quail eggs. And I was like, yeah, I would be, like, serving the same things at all the meals. I would have everyone with repetitive names. I wouldn't know who was a second cousin of who and what war was fought when. And so I my hat's off to him. I don't know how he keeps track of that shit.
He does a great job, but, boy, I'm anxious for the next one.
Me
as
too.
We all are. And I know that's why I did this totally inappropriate digression off into something that I know that we're both fans
yeah.
of. So, but you've also you're written a wonderfully funny BDSM murder mystery.
Yeah, The Killer Wore Leather.
The Killer Wore Leather, which is about a murder that takes place at a leather contest. Not too much different from where we are right now.
Huh. You'd think I'd been to one or two.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how you researched this book, because it really sounds like it's someplace that you've been.
I produced Ms. Northeast Leather in 1992.
Okay.
So 14, 22, a lot of years ago. 22 years ago, I produced a leather contest.
Mm-hmm.
So by then, I had been out in the scene almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had gone to leather contests, small ones. I'd gone to IML, I'd gone to IMSL. I'd gone to fashion shows. I mean, we didn't have a weekend event every week like we do now in the scene, but I was already going to almost anything that existed. And since 1992, I have judged so many contests, I cannot tell you. I honestly don't remember. Everything from big ones like IMSL and IML to small ones like Ms. Pony Player Bayonne or whatever. And so, yes, I have vast, vast experience in the scene.
Well, I think it shows in the book, but you put it to good use. It was very funny.
Thank you.
It had some erotic, kinky moments in it, but it was also just a darn good story.
Thank you.
And I know you just mentioned that you were going to be green-lighted for the sequel.
Yes. Yes, I already have the contract. It's going to be called Menage a Murder.
Yay!
And instead of taking place at a kinky leather conference, I am going to kill off an erotic author. And so in the next book, I will get to poke fun at the world of erotica, romantic erotica, which some people now call romantica.
Oh, my.
Right? And so I'll be able to bring back some of the characters who were in the Killer War Leather, because naturally they would also be involved in that world, like Dr. Mickey Abraham.
I loved Mickey Abraham.
Yeah. Well, Mickey Abraham has thinly disguised me.
Yes, yes. I think I figured that out halfway through and went, oh, okay, this is really funny.
Yeah.
But when I got to the part about the Pansexual Institute for Sexual Studies, and I realized that their name would be Piss, I thought, she is really letting everybody have a little taste of humor here.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful that people in the scene have largely read the book and realized that all of this is in fun and love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really making fun in a mean way.
Mm-hmm.
And we are that ridiculous to the outside world. And you know what? It pissed me off year after year, occasionally reading a book that was supposedly about a murder in the SM community, and the SM community was always this dark and mysterious hidden underground of masked people who were hiding a countless number of serial killers.
Eyes Wide Shut, perhaps?
Whatever.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? We are a comic book convention where sex happens.
That's a good way of looking at it.
And we are that goofy to the outside world, and why shouldn't they see us as we are? And of course, all the inside jokes are there for the people in the community. And a gay male group in San Francisco picked the book for their reading club for their book of the month last year, right? I think it was in March. And they read the book, and then they all got together to talk about it, as one does in a book club. And apparently they spent 20 minutes trying to figure out who Max Steele was based on.
Max Steele being the victim of the crime.
Yes, he was a thoroughly unpleasant man.
Yeah.
And so they all knew someone who could be Max Steele, and I said, exactly.
Exactly. I remember telling friends about reading, and I said, you'll recognize, even if you don't know who she might have actually had in mind, you know somebody in our community.
We have types. Fits.
Yeah, yeah. But the Killer War Leather's gotten some great reviews. It was nominated for the Lambda Literary Award.
Yeah, it was a finalist.
I was really rooting for you.
Yeah, me too. It was disappointing to lose, but I got to tell you, in all the language of people who lose everywhere, it was an honor to be nominated.
It really was, though. That's a big deal. And an Audie nomination as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I have never been noticed by these people before. I have never been mentioned in Publishers Weekly before. And so the Killer War Leather has gotten me attention in places I could not have ever gotten with the Marketplace books. I mean, the American Library Association, LGBT subgroup, listed the Killer War Leather as the only mystery in their list of books of note for last
wow.
year. And I... Come on. The ALA.
Yeah, yeah.
I was dancing around the apartment after that, you know, in my socks.
Well, you are a hardworking person. You're everywhere. You're always out there working and talking to people, educating and thought-provoking. I'm glad that you're making inroads with the Killer War Leather. I hope to see more of that as well as more Marketplace.
And you will.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here with us.
Before you run away.
Yes?
You're wearing a T-shirt that says Middle Age Guard on it.
Why, so I am.
Yes. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, In the leather community, there is an enduring mythology about this golden age of gay leather, where all gay men apparently left World War II and missing the structure of being in the army. Because Lord knows everyone who leaves a war zone misses being in the army.
Yeah.
I don't know how they gloss over that. But anyway, maybe it's the all-male atmosphere. Came back, bought motorcycles, put on leather clothes, dressed like Marlon Brando, gathered in bars and created what we know as leather sex today, complete with a bunch of protocols and etiquette rules about all sorts of esoteric behaviors in order to facilitate lots of gay male sex. And for some reason, this story has become a trope in the kinky community to the point that heterosexuals are starting to say that they are old guard trained, that those old gay army men are the old guard, and which would be interesting because I can't imagine, you know, a modern 45-year-old man like going out to a gay bar and sucking dick for a night in order to earn a leather belt. To me, that would be the image of old guard training. I just don't think they did that.
But you know, one of the reasons why the old guard myth has such power over the head?
Because it's romantic.
It's romantic, but also we struggle with sense of inauthenticity.
Exactly. And so you're looking for affirmation and some sort of history to cling to, ignoring the fact that the very name of what we do is named after two heterosexual men. All right? Sadomasochism. Sadism, masochism. They're named after het guys,
mm-hmm.
who were the kinky.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, own it.
Okay.
And then, therefore, the heterosexual old guard should be dressed in, I don't know, like stockings and buckled shoes and long wigs. I'm all down with that. I want to see the heterosexual old guard dressed like the Marquis de Sade.
Thank you. I feel validated.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I made a joke once in a speech. Where I said, you know, you hired me to write about, to talk to you about history, but I came out in the 80s. So what am I going to tell you about the history of phone sex lines? You know, I'm not a member of the old guard. I guess you could call me a member of the middle-aged guard. And people just fell out of their chairs laughing. And I was like, that's a thing there. And so years later, I put out the call on the internet and I said, I need someone to design a logo for me.
And I stepped up as the starstruck child that I was, going, please let me help, please let me help.
And wouldn't you know, this person who I didn't know stepped up and created the perfect design.
Well, thank you. No, I really was just happy to help. I thought it was a funny idea and thought it needed a logo.
And since then, I've kind of used it as my way to talk to people about, you know what, we create our own myths, we create our own identities. And, you know, it's not something that I really, you know, I market heavily because, you know, what the fuck? You know, it's a slogan, it's a name, it's a cute pin to put on your vest along with all the other pins. But I use it as a way to disarm people. And also, because I am middle-aged guard, I'm 50, you know, and I want to recognize my cohorts and the people of my age who came out in a time before the internet but learned to use it the old-fashioned way. With a modem
with DOS
and stuff.
And things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
AOL.
Command lines. So, yeah, we did it the hard way.
The good old days.
Yeah. They sucked. I like now better.
Well, I don't miss the metallic beep of signing on to AOL, so that was the old days for me, so. But again, we're just tickled that you were able to do this with us.
Thanks very much.
Are you having a good time itself?
I always have a good time. I carry a good time with me.
Okay, I believe
that. I like the attitude. That's good.
Well, thanks a lot.
And thank you.
To hear more of the Southeast Leather Fest extravaganza, click on your back button.